Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You love this Greg Robinson story, don't you?
I love it. I'm a little bit concerned for Greg Robinson because Greg Robinson, the offensive tackle for the Cleveland Browns, who's now on his third team, right?
Not to be confused with Craig Robinson, who plays Daryl on The Office.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think Daryl would.
Well, I think likes his weed
off.
Also.
That's, yeah, in real life.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
He was caught with how many pounds of marijuana?
157 pounds.
That's a lot of marijuana.
That's a lot of weed.
You think 157 pounds? Like, well, how big is that? Oh, that's more than a trunk full in a standard vehicle. That's a lot of pot.
I think people who smoke pot know this, but I think maybe you kids out there that aren't into measurements these days. Anytime you're measuring an amount of weed in pounds, even if it's 1 pound, that's a bleep ton of weed.
Yeah.
Darren Revelle, who we're going to have on in the 9 o'clock hour at 9:30.
157 pounds.
157 pounds. Yeah, he tweeted out a picture of the weed. A picture, I think it's the weed that was taken from Robinson's car. 157 pounds. Hey, do you care to take a guesstimate on what the street value of 157 pounds of weed is?
Oh, let me think.
Depends on quality and location of sale.
I know prices have come down. I've got a good story about me when I was a weed dealer, inadvertently.
Wait, what?
I'll tell you in a minute here.
Okay. That's a tease.
I've used my calculator function a lot more heavily. Prices have come down since I was an inadvertent weed dealer.
Yeah.
So, but I'm going to guess that 157 pounds is worth about $700,000.
It's a good guess. You're in the range. Revelle says, depending on quality and location of sale, between, it's a pretty big window, $300,000 and $750,000.
Okay, yeah.
So you're inside the window.
Yeah, quality matters. Quality matters. Counts. Yeah, it depends on what area you're selling it in, too. Am I selling it like in Manhattan to stockbrokers, or am I selling it to college
What
kids?
I found yesterday is that if you search on street value of weed on Google, and I'm only doing it for this story, so if someone has to go through my search history and they all of a sudden think I'm some sort of druggie, I'm not a regular weed smoker. But what it'll do is it'll pull up a map of the United States.
Oh, to show value?
With little dollar signs plunked down in all the major metro areas, and depending on how green or yellow the dollar sign is, it's an indicator of how expensive it is. It's, you know, on the West Coast, it's obviously the dollar signs are very green, meaning it's very expensive.
Yeah.
It's less expensive where Robinson was coming into the country. He was coming up through El Paso because that's how he got caught. He got pinched by the Border Patrol there. He was with Quan Bray, a former Texans training camp body.
That's right.
Not Texans worthy.
Quan,
what are you doing? Quan, I could understand. He's like a fringe NFL guy who needs to make money. Robinson's made $29 million in his career.
I know.
What an idiot.
Well, it could be for personal use. You're able to stock up once a year.
157 pounds.
Make your annual bonding trip to Mexico.
Well, they're pinning him for intent to distribute this stuff.
Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah. It's impossible to get. You're going to distribute it to somebody. You can't smoke all that ganja yourself.
That's a lot to smoke.
157 pounds.
157
now,
pounds.
Nate Newton famously was caught twice with weed, I think for a total of 213 pounds. It was
maybe so. Yeah, I don't remember the exact numbers.
Much more ambitious, and Nate Newton did hard times.
Wait! Did you say much more ambitious?
Yeah, look at this. Like, talk about disappointing underperformance. Greg Robinson was a number two overall pick, and he can't even get up to 200 pounds. Nate Newton, undrafted, worked his way up to over 200 pounds.
No, those two things are directly correlated.
Yeah,
yeah. Nate Newton had a chip on his shoulder, obviously, from being undrafted. So he made two go-rounds of being a drug kingpin.
I think the total poundage for Nate Newton was over 350 pounds, because I can remember very clearly a joke that went something like this. I can't remember it that clearly, but I remember there was a very good joke, which was, in the last 6 months, Nate Newton has been caught with 375 pounds of marijuana, but he swears he'll be down to 320 by training camp.
That's good.
Nate Newton always had weight issues.
Of course he did,
He's doing radio up in Dallas now.
He's
a very funny person.
He is a very
funny person. He's a very, very interesting personality.
Made some bad decisions.
Taste for danger.
And he's recovered from it. He's lost a lot of weight, too,
Yeah,
he, huh?
probably.
Yeah.
He's lost,
I would think.
He's moved a lot of weight. I think that he also at least wasn't dumb enough to be trying to move this across the border. Yeah. Like, he just had this... Greg Robinson had it in duffel bags moving across the border. I think Nate Newton got pulled over driving through Louisiana or something.
Okay.
And here's a hint for you. If you get pulled over in Louisiana, you're screwed. No matter what you're doing, you're not getting out of it if you don't want to get out of it.
Yeah. It helps to have a father-in-law who knows the governor.
I learned
that back in the day. Yeah.
Huey Long?
No, not that far back. Yeah, not that far. But I was speeding.
That's the only one I know.
I wasn't transporting weed. I was driving a little too fast down the Evangeline Freeway from New Iberia up to Lafayette.
Well, no, I think, you know what, I think that is the one thing. Louisiana is one of the states where it's still very much like, hey, fella, I know this guy whose name ends with an E-A-U-X.
Yes, and, yeah. Hell yeah, it is. I watched my ex-father-in-law pay off a fire marshal with 5 bags of sugar.
Is that code for something?
No.
5 young women.
It's not booger sugar. Okay. It was actual sugar. No, he was like the Tony Soprano of the sugar industry down there.
Oh, okay.
He ran the whole thing down there.
Yeah.
So he was in the backyard of his large antebellum home in the middle of Franklin, Louisiana, burning a stump that he had just sawed down a huge tree, and there was a stump where the diameter of the stump was like the size of an on-deck circle for Major League Baseball. It was a big stump. So he just decided to dump a bunch of lighter fluid on it and light it on fire to burn it out. Well, he lived in this part of town with these big antebellum homes where there were very strict burning laws about things like that. So the fire marshal sees these plumes of smoke coming out of the backyard, and he walks into the backyard, and he's like, Billy, what are you doing? What are you doing? He's like, I'm burning this stump. What are you doing? He's like, I'm coming here to tell you not to burn this stump. And they kind of look at each other, and they're kind of like, and I'm watching this. I'm standing next to him, smoking a cigar or whatever. And Billy's spitting into his cup. That's my ex-father-in-law. And he kind of gives this nod to the fire marshal, almost like this non-spoken communication, like magic to Worthy kind of thing. And the fire marshal goes into a door underneath the house and comes out with 4 gigantic bags of sugar, almost like they knew that this was... Almost like it had happened before.
That was the tax for burning your stump.
Exactly.
This is the paying the stump burning tax.
Walks out with 4 gigantic bags of sugar, and he goes, keep on burning.
How heavy is a bag of sugar? It seems like it would be heavy.
These weren't huge bags. They weren't like potato sacks.
They were like feed bags full of sugar.
Yeah. They were four bags that if you were a strong enough person, you could carry 2 under each arm.
This seems like the kind of story, it's funny you telling it now, but if it were uncovered today, it would be, the death of baseball.
Right.
It's a funny story when it happened 2 decades ago, but now it's like, oh my gosh, that's the ruination of baseball, and nothing will ever be the same.
Just know how courageous my late ex-father-in-law was, Seth, because he did that at the risk of censure.
Yeah, Buster only threatened censuring the Astros.
Right.
One of our listeners says that a decade ago he would buy pounds in Houston for $200 and sell them in Pennsylvania for $1,500.
Oh my God, that's like Newman and Kramer driving up with their recyclable bottles and returning them in Michigan.
Yeah, no.
Get the extra nickel.
This is arbitrage, you know?
That's what it is.
So when I was in college, I had a very close family member.
Is this your drug dealing story?
He was in the dark arts. And...
We called him an older family member that I had a great deal of, I don't say respect's the right word, but
he had like a older relative power over me, you know, and I was in college, and I think this guy at the time had an underground grow operation, which I tried to stay away from for the most part, but he showed up and he visited me at college one time, and he gave me a freezer bag full of pot. Now, I was not a pot smoker, but I was in college. I had friends who were. So he gives me this big freezer bag full of pot. And this guy's a genius. So he's been this is like a hybrid version that he came up with himself. And it was all... I would not have known this until I showed it to my friends who got really interested because they said it looks like it was dipped in sugar because it had so many THC crystals.
Wow, this is like designer weed.
This is like the stuff, basically it was the equivalent of like the blue meth in Breaking Bad.
Yeah, yeah.
These kids got it. So I'm like, here, I don't know, do you want a handful of it? Because I have no idea how the value is or anything like that.
Right.
So I've got these like, he actually gave me 2 freezer bags full of pot and I have no idea what to do with it and I'm stressed as hell.
Dude.
And I think the implication was when he gave it to me, he thought that he wanted me to sell it for him. Yeah. He was trying to turn me out,
right,
you know?
Right.
And I'm like, no, I ain't your trick.
Yeah.
I'm not going to turn into a drug dealer.
Yeah.
But I didn't say it. So this is the problem.
That's how Amway got started.
I had too much respect for him because he was my older relative. And I didn't want to be rude and turn it down.
Yeah.
But I got these two things and I got so stressed immediately. This is my
junior
year in college. I'm like thinking about trying to make the NFL and everything.
Yeah.
I know that the NFL has private investigators. And but there was some part of me that I felt indebted to my older relative that I couldn't just throw it away. So I just gave it to my friends. But then this stuff was causing such a commotion in the community there because it was so good that I had people starting coming up to me at parties asking me for pot and
everything. Jesse Pinkman.
And I'm like, I'm gonna get like a reputation as a drug dealer.
That's no joke. That could have been super dangerous.
I walked around paranoid for like a year. After that, and I told my older relative, who was very disappointed in me, young man, for not selling it?
For
not becoming a drug dealer.
Right, right.
And against my own will.
Yeah.
I honestly, right up until I got drafted, and even a little while after that, I was kind of like, I was always nervous that somehow I was going to get pegged as this drug dealer. It was because I had the really good stuff.
All it takes is for one of those druggies that you gave it to get pinched for something.
Right, yeah.
And then they ask, where did you get it from? Seth Payne.
I know.
That's
luckily,
all it takes.
It was good. I was under the radar enough of a prospect that I don't think teams were going to waste their time going to do the deep dive private investigator search on me. I'd never been in trouble before. I went to Cornell, so they figured I was some nerd or something.
Right.
Little did they know I hadn't been to class in a year.
Right.
And they just kind of, I skated through, but it was probably good because it made me live like an incredibly straight and narrow life for a year because I was so paranoid that somehow I was going to be made out as a drug dealer.
Older relative did you a favor. Unwittingly.
Yeah.
But did you a favor.
Yeah.
Think of what you would have done. What possible things you would have gotten in trouble doing if you weren't so focused on your reputation for that year.
You know, the big thing, too, is like as I was in the NFL, I tried to help this guy get on the straight and narrow several times, and I found out that all I was doing was helping fund his operation.
That's it?
Yeah.
I was like, man,
you got to get out of this. Like, let's hear. I'm going to set you up with this. I'm going to set you up with your own little, place to live and everything.
You provided some funding.
Yeah, one of my friends told me, like, Seth, man, he's still doing the same thing. So I had to, like, just cut ties with him.
Ah,
you know?
That sucks. That sucks.
You lied to me, Sean.
Text message. Are you okay? Text message. I'm a fire marshal for the city. That story is hilarious. Not surprising. I've been offered several things while inspecting different places. Ha ha.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would imagine so. You know, yeah, come on, fire marshal.
Have you ever been involved where you thought you were maybe getting shaken down for a bribe?
No, I don't know that I've ever been in a position that's bribe-worthy. You know what I mean? Why, have you?
I was. We were building a building once in this small town in Florida, and it got to the point where the building inspector kept giving all these objections to things that had been approved on the plans already. Yeah. And I didn't know what to do. Like, I'm almost certain he was asking for a bribe, but I just wouldn't do it. I couldn't get caught up in that. This is while I was still a player. You know,
you brushed up against the odd end of the law many, many times.
I've disappointed so many criminals. Like, I've disappointed so many times in my life people I think have been trying to do crime with me, and I'm so petrified that they probably, like, really, they think poorly of me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.